Nun Beis Amid Beis, page 104, middle of the page where it says Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah we started last time, but we all got in the middle of the Mishnah. We didn't actually finish the Mishnah. It says like this. We're talking about a man doing Kedusha with a woman. In order for a man to do Kedusha with a woman, the property has to be his. If the property is not his, he cannot do Kedusha with a woman, obviously. Okay? So now there's a din like this. When a person brings a korban, when they bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, there's various different types of sacrifices, which the Mishnah will be discussing. Now, there are many sacrifices, when you bring them, the Mizbeach, part of the animal gets burnt on the altar in the Mizbeach, part of the animal the Kohen eats, part of the animal, certain korbanos, the person that brings it eats. Okay? Now, what happens if a man comes over to the woman? He brings a korban, okay? So part of the korban he eats. So he says to the woman, you know what? With my part of the sacrifice that I'm bringing, become mekudeshes to me. Okay? So logically, you would think, okay, it's good, why not? He has a part of the korban, he's giving it to the woman, and that's going to be take effect of the kedushin.
But so, he's not saying that.
He does. He's saying, with my chelik of the korban, that I get, or let's say he's a Kohen, right? So the Kohen and Manshift divide, it could be either Yisrael or Kohen, it doesn't matter what the story is. If the guy's a Kohen, let's say there's 10 Kohen on the shift at that time, so the 10 Kohen would divide the animal, right? Now what you get of the animal is definitely more than a pruta, it's more than a cent, right? So one Kohen comes over to a woman and says, listen, I'm getting this animal, my chelik of the animal, become a kodeshes to me with it. Or if it's a Yisrael and he's eating the korban, he says, you know, my part of the korban that I'm going to be getting, become a kodeshes to me. So the Mishnah says like this, HaMekadri b'chalkei, if a guy does it with his chelik, with his lot, Ben Kachi Kadoshim, whether it's the holy of holiest types of korban, Ben Kachim Kalim, or whether it's the lesser type of korbanus, I'll explain in a second, Enim kodeshes, the kodushin is not valid. Okay? Now, just for the record, so to speak, there are korbanos that are called, we say in davening every day, Kochi Kadoshim, Holy of Holies. Right? There are certain korbanos that are called Kochi Kalim, the lesser level. Okay? So the Mishnah says it doesn't matter whether it's the Holy of Holies or the Holy, not of the Holy of Holies, it's invalid. Why is this? The reason is as follows. It's not. Yeah, you can. It's not, and this is very interesting, halacha. It's not yours. Hashem lets you eat it. But it's God's. 104. In other words, and this is a very interesting concept. When you bring a sacrifice, whether you're a Kohen who's getting a part of the animal to eat, or you're a Yisrael that's getting a part of it to eat, the Mishnah is teaching us, it's not yours. You don't own it. You have permission to eat it. And therefore, it's not your money that you're giving to the woman to do the kedushin.
Could we also say that there may be a problem on the way with shechita or something and it won't be valid? They have to throw it away?
No, you're just allowed to eat it.
I mean, what was actually owned by the individuals? But since would it not be a problem since you can't identify which part of the meat is actually his?
It doesn't matter, but there's definitely going to be a part of it, and he's going to give her that part.
Which part?
Whatever part he gets.
But he didn't get it yet.
If five people are dividing an object, okay? Let's see, five people bought a cake. Okay? So each one's going to get a fifth of the cake. Right? And a man says to a woman,
My portion
of the cake I'm giving to you for Kedushin.
The cake is a little bit different than...
The Gemara says the difference is, because when a Kohen eats the korban, he is not eating his korban. In other words, the Torah didn't give it to you. It's not yours. We're letting you eat it. It's God's korban. It's brought on the Mizbeach. It belongs to Hashem. Hashem said, you know what? I'm letting you eat it. But it's mine, not yours.
Correct.
Correct. Okay, then the Mishnah continues and says, B'maisa Sheini, What happens if a guy betroths a woman with Maaseh Sheni? Maaseh Sheni is like this. In the tithing that you do every year, okay? So, he's over there, Mendel. There's a din that Maaseh Sheni, every few times in this 6 year cycle, okay, twice you have to give Maaseh Sheni. Maaseh Sheni means, I mean it's four times, not twice. You take 10% of your earnings of the fruit, you have to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. If it's too much, the Torah says you redeem it for money, bring the money to Yerushalayim and buy food with it. But the money has to be spent in Yerushalayim. Or the fruit must be eaten in Yerushalayim. 104. Now, the Mishnah says like this. So now the question is like this. Is this my property? Or is it Hashem's property that I need to eat in Yerushalayim? And this is going to be an argument in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. When I have to take this 10% and bring it to Yerushalayim to eat, right? Does it mean it's really mine, I own it? Or it's Hashem's, but Hashem says, you know what? If you take it to Yerushalayim, you're allowed to eat it, but it's mine, not yours.
But if he's giving this as a condition, does the woman have to eat it, or does he?
No,
if he's giving her something, she has to be able to eat it.
No, but that's not...
Maaseh Sheni, anybody could eat.
Oh, anybody.
Okay. But in Yerushalayim. Only Yerushalayim. It's not hectic. Well, that's the question. Is Maaseh Sheni your money or is it God's money?
No, but I'm saying, who is the one that...
He's giving it to her for her to use.
For her to use.
He's not giving her anything.
Right.
He has to give her something. Okay.
But with the coin, we have a problem because she can't eat something that belongs to the coin.
Let's say she's a Baskrain. That's not the issue. The question is he giving her something of value? Okay, so now he says like this, but Maaseh Sheni, Bein B'Shegi, Bein B'Mezid. Whether he knew it was Maaseh Sheni or not, Loi Kiddush Divrei Rameir. Rameir holds it's not a valid Kiddushin. Why? Because Rameir holds Maaseh Sheni is Hashem's, not the person's. Therefore, again, you're allowed to eat it, but it's not yours, so therefore you cannot give it as Kiddushin. Rabbi Yehuda says like this, B'shegig, if he gave it to her unknowingly, meaning he didn't know it was Maaseh Sheni, then it's not a good Kedusha. B'mezid, if he gave it intentionally, okay, then it is a good Kedusha. Now, the Gemara is going to explain the reason for this, okay? So, in fact, Rashi doesn't even say here what the reason is. Rashi just says, the Gemara is going to explain the reason. The argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir is very simple. Does Maaseh Sheni belong to the person, or does it belong to Hashem, and Hashem says you could eat it? Rav Meir holds Maaseh Sheni belongs to Hashem. Hashem says you can eat it. I give you permission to eat my food in Yerushalayim. Okay, Rav Yehuda holds no. Maaseh Sheni is the person's property, and therefore, if he gives it to the woman, he is giving her something for kedushin. So therefore, he says, if it was accidental, it's not a good Kedushin. We'll see why in the Gemara. But if it's intentional, it is a good Kedushin. Now, what happens if it's Hegdish? A guy gives her something which is the property belonging to the Beis HaMikdash. B'mezid, if he gave it to her knowingly, it's a good Kedushin. Okay? We're going to soon see exactly what this means also. B'shaygeg loy kiddush, if it was accidental, it's not a valid kedushin. Divrei Rameir, that's what Rameir holds. So Rameir holds, if you give a woman a property of the Beis HaMikdash, so if it's intentional, it's good. If it's accidental, it's not good. Rabbi Yehuda says the opposite. B'shaygeg, if it was done accidentally, it is a good kedushin. And b'mezid loy kiddush. Again, the Mishnah is not explainable yet. The Gemara later on will explain exactly what the Mishnah is. What the argument is, what the Mishnah is talking about. Basically, what we need to know from the Mishnah is a very simple concept. If it's your money, the Kedushin is valid. If it's Hashem's money that you're allowed to eat, it's not a valid Kedushin. Okay? That's why, like it says, with the Karbonis, okay, it's Hashem's property, you have a right to eat it, you do Kedushin with it, it's not valid. if it's Maisa Sheni, Rabbi Yehuda says it's your money, it's a good Kedushin. Rabbi Meir says it's Hashem's property, it's not a good Kedushin. And Bei Hekdesh is the argument to Rabbi Yehuda, but whatever that argument is, we don't know yet. Okay. So now, the Gemara says like this. Seemingly, though, what we learned is any korban, whether it's the holy korbanis or the semi-holy korbanis, is God's property. That's what the Mishnah said. There's not even an argument mentioned in the Mishnah. Okay? So the Mishnah Gemara says, Neima Masnisin, Deleke Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Seemingly, our Mishnah cannot go according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Why? The Tanya, because we learned, it says in a person, in the Pasuk, Umola Malba Hashem. If a person will do a treachery against Hashem by lying to his friend. Okay? Meaning what over there is like this. I gave you something to watch. I come to you and say, give it back. You deny it. You said, you never gave it to me. You didn't steal it. Don't forget. I gave it to you to watch. So it came into your house with permission. You didn't steal it from me. Okay? I gave it to you, and then I come say, give it back to me. You say, what are you talking about? You never gave me anything. And you swear falsely. So then you have to bring a korban with a fine. I mean, there's a whole procedure. So it says, Umolo Malba Hashem, a person made this treachery against Hashem by lying to his fellow person, includes Mrelabes Kochikalim. Shehein Mamoinei, which includes that if it's personal money, Kochi Kalim, the lesser level of a korban, and it is your money. Divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili. So Rabbi Yosi Aglili says clearly that Kochi Kalim, meaning the lesser level of like shlomim, those types of korbanis, is your money. Right? So the question is, that can't be like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah just got through saying that even any level of korbanis, whether it's the holier one or the less holier one, it's not your money, it's Hashem's money. And Rabbi Yosi Aglili clearly says, it is your money. It's your money. He says clearly, it's your money. So Gemara says, no. Over there is different. Why? Afilo temet Rabbi Yosi Aglili. You can even say it goes according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Ki ka'amar Rabbi Yosi Aglili. When does Rabbi Yosi Aglili say that Kochi Kalim, meaning the lesser holiness of Korbanos, is yours, Michayim, before you shechted it? Avol acher shechita, but after the animal is shechted, loy, then it's everybody agrees it's God's. Meaning like this. Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, certain Korbanos is your property. So the Gemara is explaining it. When is it your property? Before they shechted the animal. Once they shecht the animal, then it's God's property. And therefore, our Mishnah that says that Kochi Kalim, that even that level of Kochim, is not yours, is not yours? Yeah? That is even according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili. This that Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, if somebody gave you something, you denied it and you swore, that's when the animal is still alive. Once you shechted it, and he says, my time, why? Because when they acquired the portions, the kayanim, mishulchem gavaya kazachu. They got it from God's prophets. So in other words, like this, the Mishnah Gemara is saying, even Rabbi Yosi Aglili would hold, after you shecht it, it's God's property. And therefore, our Mishnah that says, if a guy says to a woman, after the animal was shechted, my part of the korban I'm giving to you for kedushin, even Rabbi Yosi Aglili would say it's not a valid kedushin. Because it's not yours. It's Hashem's, and he allows you to eat it. By the way, let me give you an example. I think we discussed this last week also. You come to my house. I put a plate of food in front of you. Well, last week was Hanukkah. God, it feels like a year ago. Okay. I give you a plate of food for you to eat. Yeah? You take that plate of food and you give it to the woman and say, Arat Mukadeshasli, I'm giving you this plate of food.
I hope she's good looking.
Good cooking. With this plate of food. Now the question is, if you think about it, whose food is that?
Yours.
Who's you?
Yours.
Who's the you? The owner or the guest?
The owner.
Seemingly, it's the owner's food.
He ate it.
He's letting you eat it. He's not letting you... What happened? Hey, let's give a crazy example. I give you a... One minute, I give you a plate of food. See, it's different than a restaurant when you pay for it. If I give you a plate of food to eat, and you say, no, I'm taking it home. Technically, can I stop you from taking it home?
Well,
because a restaurant you pay for it, it becomes yours. Yeah, but I'm saying not in a restaurant. If you come to my house, I put a plate of food in front of you.
And
yeah.
You
the question is, let's be technical, nitty gritty, picky, whatever. Technically, I'm letting you eat the food in my house. It's not your food that you can give it away to somebody, or give it for kedushin, or it's my food. I'm letting you eat it. That's what the Gemara says. By korban, it's the same thing. It's Hashem's behema. You brought it as a korban. Hashem says the kohen could eat it, or sometimes the owner could eat it, but it's only yours to eat. It's not yours to give away. So the Gemara says, but Rabbi Yisrael Glili says it is your money. So Gemara says that's only before the shechita. Once the animal is shechted, then the din is, even Rabbi Yisi would agree that it's not the person's, and therefore the Kedusha would be invalid.
He's got money.
What?
Money, because you didn't want to take the animal with you. You took the money, and over there you bought the animal. Would that then be... Or you still have to have it shechted?
No, once it's a carbon, it's a carbon. You can't... What?
Designated as the property of the Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah.
You can't do Tumura, you can't exchange it anything else, because it's become... It's Hashem's property.
No, but we're talking now that you shechted it and you're allowed to eat it. Yeah, then for sure you can't. No, he's saying if Rabbi Yossi is just saying that if you swore falsely with it, you denied it, whatever. But that's a separate din.
Why is he saying that it becomes Hashem's property only after you shechted?
Because once it's shechted, then you need to eat. In order to eat it, you need to sprinkle the blood. You have to do a whole process to be able to allow you to eat it. So that is the way Hashem acquires the carbon, through the shechita. Once Hashem acquires the carbon through the shechita, so then, what needs to be done is, then it's Hashem's, it's not yours.
And what if I, before you do shechita, what if I say this animal is for the Beis HaMikdash?
No.
It's not mine anymore, I can't have any...
It's not true, if it's a carbon, are you allowed to eat? Or if you're a kohen that can eat the carbon, why not? The chiddush of the Gemara is that ownership, just because you're allowed to eat it, does not mean you own it. That's the unique concept over here. Just because you can eat it doesn't mean you own it.
And the fact that you haven't shechted it yet?
No, then Rabbi Yossi says it's your personal money as far as this din of, which I didn't want to elaborate on, of Me'ila. But that's a whole different story. Okay. What?
Also, you mentioned many times that, for example, with food. Even a person in their own home, the food before you make the bracha belongs to Hashem. After you make the bracha belongs to the person.
Yeah, but that's not. Let me ask you a question. If you're sitting at the table, you didn't make a bracha yet, and I steal your food, did I steal it from you or from Hashem?
before I made the bracha.
Yeah, who do I steal it from?
Well, technically, from
me. Right. I mean, you're asking a good question. Before you make a bracha, it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to Hashem.
It means the whole world belongs to Hashem.
Right, but it legally it belongs to you.
After the bracha, it belongs to the Hashem.
No, before the bracha. The Gemara says, before you make a bracha and you eat it, it's like you're stealing from Hashem. When you make a bracha, Hashem says, now you could eat it. So then you're not stealing from Hashem. Okay. And Deikonami, the Gemara says, even prove it. The Ketani, because in the Mishnah says, HaMekadish Bechalkei, with his portion. Okay? Ben Kachikadish, Ben Kachikalun Loi Kiddish. That means, when it's speaking Chalkei, you're part of the animal, which means the animal was killed already, was shechted. Because before it shechted, you have no part of the animal yet. The Kohen doesn't have a part of the animal until it shechted. So the fact that the Gemara Mishnah uses the expression, I'm sanctifying the woman, I'm doing Kedusha with the woman, with my part, it means it's already dead. And therefore, like Rabbi Yisrael Galili said, after the Shechitas. Okay. Now the Gemara tells an interesting story, so to speak. The yeshivas of old, let me just explain this first orally. Yeshivas of old also had politics. Okay? Different rabbis had different caliber of students. Okay? Like, for instance, Beis Hillel had an open door policy. Anybody who wanted to come learn, Beis Hillel will let you in. Shammai, Beis Shammai, they were very, very particular who they took in. Because Beis Shammai was, you know, more was stricter and more particular. So Shammai only took in brilliant students. Therefore, the Gemara says, Beis Shammai students were smarter, but Beis Hillel had more students, so they were the majority. Okay? Because they had an open door policy. They didn't have to be a genius to be accepted. Rab Meir, the Gemara says, Rab Meir, the famous Rab Meir of the Gemara, that argued Rab Yehuda, the student of Rabbi Akiva. He was so brilliant, he let into his yeshiva only very particular brilliant students. And Rab Yehuda, who was also Rosh Yeshiva, his yeshiva had more of an open door policy. Okay? So the Gemara says like this: Tan Rabban Rabbanon learned. La'acha p'tirasa shel Rab Meir. After Rab Meir passed away, it's the third of the wide lines in 104 at the bottom. After Rab Meir passed away, Amar lehem Rab Yehuda l'tamid of Rab Yehuda. So what happened? Rab Yehuda understood students from Rab Meir. Rab Meir passed away, so they're going to come now to his yeshiva. He told the students, "Al yikonsu tamid Rab Meir l'kan." Don't let in any students of Rav Meir here. Why? Menesha kantronim him. All they do is provoke. They're not coming to learn. They're coming lekapcheni ba'alochas him boim. To cut me down means to prove me wrong. Rav Meir's students were known as sharp-witted, as we'll soon see. Okay? So Rabbi Yehuda says to his students, don't let any of these guys into the yeshiva. They're not here to learn, they're here to make problems. In learning, you know, don't let them in. So they didn't let them in, but Dachak Sumchas v'Nichas. One of the students of Rav Meir was Sumchas, was mentioned many times in the Mishnah, and Sumchas somehow got in to Rabbi Yehuda's yeshiva. Amalehem. So Sumchas comes to the yeshiva, so he starts off by saying the following. Kachshon Eli Rab Meir, this is what Rab Meir taught us. HaMekadish Bechalkai, if somebody does Kedushin, exactly this thing that we're learning here. If somebody does Kedushin with his part of the carbon, Ben Kachik Kalim like Kiddush. Whether it's with Kachik Kachim, Kachik Kalim, it's not a good Kedushin. Exactly what our Mishnah says. Cause Rabbi Yehuda Aleihem. So Rabbi Yehuda got angry at his students. He said, I told you not to let these guys into the yeshiva.
Well, it's not up to them, it's up to him.
Amen. Amar Lehem, he said to his students, Leikach Amarti Lochem, didn't they tell you? Al Yukonsu Tamid Rab Meir Lekan, B'mnei Shakantronim Heim? They're only coming to provoke. V'lei Lomer Teira Emboim, they're not coming to learn Teira. Elo Lekapcheni Ba'alochas Emboim. They're coming to make problems. He says, you see how ridiculous this guy is? He says, V'chi isha b'azor minayin? Whatever crazy case is this? How does a woman get to the azara? says a guy wants to be Mekadosh a woman with his part of a carbon, right? The carbon has to be eaten inside the Beis HaMikdash, or when he's giving it, he gets it inside the Beis HaMikdash. He said, how does a woman come to the Azara? No, but the Azara was the male Azara. There was a woman's section, and there was the men's section. The Karbanos were taken in the male section. So he says, how does a woman... What does Rabbi Yehuda say? You see how ridiculous these students are? Even though really it's a Mishnah we just learned. Okay? But Rabbi Yehuda says, I told you guys not to let him sumchis, because look what he did. All he wants to do is make fun. He says, because how does a woman get to the Azar? So I'm in Rabbi Yehuda said like this. There's a problem. Meir Shachav, Meir died. They were all colleagues. They called each other by first name, right? Meir died. Yehuda Kos, Rabbi Yehuda got angry. Yehuda Shosak, and Yehuda should remain silent. How can they remain silent? Divrei Teira Matehei Olel. What's going to be with Teira? In other words, I can't sit here and say nothing. So he says, I'll show you how a woman could be in the Azara. He says, V'chi ein Adam osir l'kabel kedushin levita b'azara. A man, we learned, the father could accept kedushin for his daughter. So you can have a case, the man is in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara, accepting kedushin for his daughter. And the din is, it's not a good kedushin because he's not giving her anything. Or, Ve'inisha asuya lasis lo shaliach l'kabel kedusha b'azara. Can't a woman make a shaliach to accept the kedushin, and the shliach could be a male. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is screaming, how does a woman get to the Azara? So Rabbi Yehuda says, 1 second. You don't need a woman. And he says even more. What happens if there's this case that the woman pushed into the Azara? What happens if the woman, she wasn't supposed to. She pushed herself into the Azara, and she accepted kedushin. You need to deal with it. Is it a good kedushin or not? Okay, so it's very interesting. Tesis of this asks, it's interesting. Rashi learns that what's the question? How does a woman get into Azara? Rashi says because a woman is not allowed to go into the Azara.
What was Azara again?
The Azara is the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. When you came into the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash, first there were chambers, then there was the woman's section, then there was the male section. Then they went up steps to where they shechted the korbanos and all that. So Rashi learned, the Tosfos asks a question on Rashi. Rashi learns that a woman's not allowed to be in the Azara. And that was the Gemara's question of Rabbi Yehuda. How does a woman get into the Azara? Tosfos says there's no such din. It doesn't say anywhere a woman can be in the Azara. And Tosfos brings a Gemara that says that there was a woman in the Azara. Okay, so Taisus answers what Taisus says. What the question of Rabbi Yehuda, how does a woman get to the Azara, means, granted, yes, a woman could go into the Azara, but women usually don't go into the Azara to become a Kodeshus, to accept Kedushin. And that was his question. So the Gemara answers, it is possible. The father did it, the Shliach did it, or whatever, she did go in. But Rashi learns a woman cannot go into the Azara. Taisa says no such thing. A woman could go into the Azara. Lepoel, what's interesting is, Sumchas didn't say anything wrong, by the way. Sumchas just quoted our Mishnah, which Rav Meir seemingly agrees to also, that the money of the carbon is not your possession, it's the possession of Hashem who allows you to eat it. That's it.
Is it illegal to take out the meat from the Azara?
No, some things were eaten by Yerushalayim.
So technically, you don't have to say that the woman has to be there, that the man has to be proposing to the woman in the Azara, because the man can take the meat out and propose outside the Beis HaMikdash. So why is it so adaptive?
Yeah, but the question, that's where the Kedusha would be. The Kedusha would be in the Beis HaMikdash, though.
We have to assume that
this is the scenario.
That's the scenario.
Are you allowed to take it out and eat it outside?
It says certain parts of Kodesh Kedoshim, if they're removed from the inner Azara, even to the outer courtyard, is disqualified. Okay? In other words, there are kabbanis that you can only eat inside the Azari. You can't take it out, even to the woman's section. That's the halacha. So then the Gemara asks, how does a woman get to the Azari? What?
Well, that would be my question. If a woman has to bring a korban, something like that.
She brings it in, and then it's taken over by the kohen. Yeah.
What if she has to? Is there any korban that the woman has to eat?
Usually not. She doesn't have to eat it, no.
And then she gets to eat.
Certain things she could, certain things she can't.
So the kohen go bring it back to her?
Yeah. Yep.
Is that the same as that you have to eat it and not have it stay overnight?
Those dinim also apply. Yeah. Okay. Weiter. Tanya, we learned in a braise, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, again, what does it say that if a man does kedusha with a woman, right, with his part of the carbon? So in our Mishnah it said, everybody says it's no good, right? But in the Braish it says, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer Mekudeshes, Rabbi Yehesi Eina Mekudeshes. Which, by the way, is interesting. This is the reason why Rabbi Yehuda got angry. Because this Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda holds, it's not a good, it is a good Kedushin. Rabbi Yehuda holds, it says in the Braisa, it is a good Kedushin. Even though in our Mishnah it says, everybody says it's not a good Kedushin. Amr Rabbi Yechanan says, Shneya Mikra Echadosh, both Rabbi Yehuda, again, what is the crux of the argument? Is the Karbanis your possession or God's possession? Okay, that's the thing. So if Rabbi Yehuda says Mekudeshes because it's yours, Rabbi Yehesi says it's not Mekudeshes because it's Hashem's, right? So Rabbi Yechanan explains it. Both are arguing about the definition of a pasuk. Okay, what is it? It says in the pasuk, Zeh Yelocha Mikedesh Kedoshim Mino Eish. Okay, these parts of the Karbanis will be yours from the fire. Okay, the pasuk says certain parts of the animal the kohenim could eat. That's what the Torah says. But the Torah says, Zeh yielocha, this will become yours. So Rabbi Yehuda says, what does yours mean? Lecha uchol tzorchecha. You could use it for any purpose. It's for you, meaning whatever you want to do. You want to do kedushin, you can do kedushin. You want to eat it, you want to eat it. You can eat. You want to frame it, you can frame it. Okay? You can't, because you can't leave it overnight. But I'm saying, you could sell it. Well, no, you need to be, well, it could be only a crane could eat it sometimes. But abyeisi savar ka'esh. But the Torah says, the pasuk says, zayelocha from the fire. What does it mean from the fire? Ma'esh la'achila. Just like the fire of the Mizbeach was to consume the food for Hashem, afhu nami lachilas, only good for eating. Okay? So Rabbi Yechanan explains, what is the argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehesi if Karbanis is your money or God's money? He says, because the Torah says it's yours from the fire. So Rabbi Yehuda says yours means yours. And therefore, if it's yours, you can do with it whatever you want. Rabbi Yehesi says, no. The Torah says it's yours from the fire. Meaning, just like the fire on the Mizbeach is eating the carbon, the only thing you're allowed to do with the carbon is only eat it, and nothing else. Why? Because it's not yours, it's really Hashem's, and Hashem allows you to eat it. Amen, Rabbi Yehesi said, okay, so Rabbi Yehesi says, so there was a debate. You know, is it your money? Is it God's money? Nimna v'gamru, they took a bet, a vote. You know, the Chacham took votes. And they came to the conclusion, HaMekadish b'chalkei, if you did it, Kedusha, with your own part. Bein kachi kachim, whether it's the Holy of Holy Karbanis. Bein kachi kalim, whether it's the second level of Karbanis. Loi kiddush. Everybody came to the conclusion, Rabbi Yechanan says, that it's not a good kedushin because it's not your money. Like Rabbi Yehesi. Rav argues Rabbi Yechanan, And he says, Adayini Machlekes, it's not true, they never took a vote. Rabbi Yechon says they took a vote, and they came to the conclusion that it's not a good Kedushin, because it's not your money. Rav says, not true, they never took a vote. The argument stays an argument, and there's two opinions. That's it.
Question. Before they came to this conclusion, anybody could do it, and whatever they wanted, and make them enter? With the...
No.
They just didn't do it?
Well, according to one opinion, they were able to. One opinion says they weren't able to.
So they would go by somebody's opinion.
Right, whoever opinion it was. Rabbi Yechon said they made a vote, and the majority ruled. Right? That's what it means. Nimna Vagamah took a vote, and obviously it goes by the majority. The majority ruled that it's not a good Kedusha.
But until then?
Until then, some did like this, some did like this. You have Rashi Tfilin, Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin, yeah? What did they wear before Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam? They also put on Tfilin. What did they wear? Huh?
Either or. Any.
Right, so it says before then. That's why the archaeologists found tefillin earlier on, some like Rashi, some like Rabbeinu Tam. Because before Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, there was no conclusion. You could wear like this, you could wear like this. Just like today, some people wrap it this way, some people wrap it this way, some people make a shin here, some people make a shin here, some people make a shin who knows where, right? Any way you do it, it's kosher. If one day, they ain't gonna happen, everybody will get together and make a conclusion, this is the way to do it, then everybody has to do it that way.
So everybody does it.
Then Mashiach will come.
Huh?
Then Mashiach will come.
So everybody does it.
I think Mashiach is going to come before that happens.
Is Mashiach already here?
Huh? Yeah, you see already.
When Mashiach comes, are we going to do it one way, or are we still going to do it differently?
I don't know.
It will be clear by then, right?
So what does Mashiach say now about the graphic? What does he say now?
The shin is here.
He's here, isn't he?
Yeah.
What's he saying?
The Chabad way.
Yeah, what does he say?
That's what he says, the Chabad way.
The Chabad way.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's the Chabad way?
The right way. Amar Abai Abai said. Huh? Amar Abai Abai said. Kavosid Rabbi Yechon and Mistabro. Abai says, logic, Rabbi Yechon's way is right, that there was a conclusion that it's not your money, it's God's money, and therefore the Kedushin is not valid. He says like this, where do we see such a thing? The Tanya says in the Braisha like this. Okay, this is also very interesting. Kayanim, the Jewish mind is not only today, you know, business, deals, wheeling and dealing was the Jewish tradition even over here. Very briefly, you have an animal, the animal was shechted, right? Okay. Then the Kohanim also had flower offerings they got part of. Different, you know, korbanos. Okay. Now, let's say, again, for argument's sake, let's say there's 10 Kohanim in that particular shift. There were more, but let's say there's 10 Kohanim shifting, okay? So, each one gets a tenth of the edible thing for the Kohanim. Each one gets a tenth. Then there were flower offerings. Right? A guy brought an X amount of flour offering. It's a large amount. And then the Kohen takes only a handful. Right? And goes like this, what's called the kmitza. And that's the only part of the flour offering that goes on the Mizbeach. What happens to the rest of the flour offering? The Kohenim get it. Now, what happens if one Kohen says to the next, he's a vegetarian. He says to another Kohen, you know what? You get the meat, my share of the meat, and I get your share of the flour. And it, again, wheeling and dealing, a Jewish business. You get this, I'll get this. I get this, you get this. So the Brice is going to go through all various scenarios that you can't do it. No business deals in the Beis Hamikdash.
But afterwards?
No, we'll see. One second. The Tanya says like this. Minayin, from where do we learn? Shein chilkim menachas keneged zvachim, that the Kohanim cannot divide the flour offerings against the meat offerings. You know, you say, you give me the flour, you get the meat, or whatever. How do we know you can't do it? So it says, Tam Alayim, because it says in the Pasuk, V'chol mincha she'ti offer betanur, any mincha or every mincha, I mean, that mincha is a flour offering, that is baked in the oven, l'chol b'nei arin tiyah. It has to be for all the koyanim. So therefore, every koyan needs to get his part. He can't give up his part for something else. So I would think, yochol l'yichalku. Okay, so then the Brisa continues like this. I would think, okay, you know why you cannot divide minochas keneged zivcheim, mincha, flour offering for a meat korban, shleikamo tachteim bedalus, because you can't substitute for poor people. Meaning like this, flour offerings were able to be brought by poor people. These korbanos cannot be brought. Even a poor person has to give the same like everybody else. So mincha is different than a regular korban, because mincha can have rich and poor, different. It's a different category. This is for poor people. This is for wealthy people. But I would think, yichalku menachas keneged eifes. But what happens if a kohen wants to divide the flour offering for bird offerings, not for animal offerings? Sharikamo tachteyem bedalos. Because birds, you also have a poor person can bring an animal. Certain times he's allowed to bring a bird. And then the Torah says, if you're so poor, he could bring a flower offering, right? So you see, birds are exchangeable for poor. So it says, no. Talmud leimer v'chol nase b'macheshes, any flower korban that was made in a deep frying pan, l'chol b'nei arin yiyum. So again, even menachas, every mincha, not only can you not exchange it for animals, you can't even exchange it for korban birds, for bird korban. Then it says, okay, but I would think, I would think that you know why you cannot divide menachas versus birds. Because birds, you squirt the blood on the mizbeach. Flower offerings, there's no blood. So I would think it's a different type of a korban. I would think, though, Yechalku eifes keneged zvachim, but maybe birds could be exchanged for animals, meaning you take my bird, I'll take your animal, you take my, whatever it is. So it says, no. Talmud leimer vi al machavas is an extra expression, meaning you cannot exchange any type of carbon for another type of carbon. Even flour to birds, birds to animals, flour to anyone not. But I would think, one second, Yochel, I would think, lo yichalkul eifes keneged zvachim. Okay, you know, I would think that you can't divide birds against meat, because alol masim biyad, because the bird is done by hand. When you shech the bird, or you do malika, it's all done by hand. You accept the blood in your hand, because it's a minimal amount of blood. But, v'alolu masim bekeli, and the shechita of the korbanos of animals is done with a knife. So he says, okay, but I would think you could divide menachas for menachas. Flour offerings for flour offerings. I tell the kohen, you know what, you take the deep fry one, I'll take the superficial one. And he will, so it says, no. Shalolu maseim b'yad, both are done by hand. Talmud leimer v'chol mincha b'lula v'shemen l'chol b'nei aret. Again, there's psukim that say every mincha has to be divided by each kohen. And then he's finishing up. I would think that you cannot divide a shallow pan versus a deep pan. Because one type of flour offering, it was a liquidy flour offering. Sometimes it was a thick flour offering. So again, it's a different type of flour offering. Alva yichalku machvas kenegin machvas, or macheshes kenegin macheshes. I think, though, you could divide, you know, make a deal. This type of mincha with this type of mincha, this type of macheshes, this type of macheshes. Oinami masim rap talmud leimer v'charev l'chol b'nei arim. Again. So the Gemara is just going step by step that you can't make any business deals. Not mincha for animal, not mincha for bird, not bird for animal, not animal for bird, not deep fry, for regular fry, and this and that, you can't do any of these switches. I would think, though, maybe only in the holy of holy animals of Karbonis you can't switch. But you can divide the lesser sanctified ones. Tamalema ishka achiv v'samachle im al teida k'shem shein cholkim b'kotchi kotchim kachin cholkim b'kotchi kalim. There's a passage that likens the stricter carbon to the lesser carbon, and therefore just like in the stricter carbon you can't do business, in the lighter carbonis you can do. Okay? Now, ish, when it says a man, ish chelek afilu bal mum, even a guy, a kohen that had a blemish, who couldn't work on the mizbeach, would be allowed to eat, though, get the divisions of the korbanos of that day. But when a katan chelek, a kid doesn't get, even if he's blemishless, he's unblemished. Right now I'm at 53.82. Bottom line of this whole braisa. What's the bottom line? What is this braisa basically saying? The whole braisa is saying you can't exchange one thing for the next. Now, if it's mine, why can't I exchange it?
It belongs to God.
What do you see from here? That the karbanis and the flower offering and everything is not mine. If it's mine, why can't I exchange it? The fact that the pasuk doesn't let me exchange it shows it's not mine. I could eat it. Yeah, because Hashem allows me to eat it. So this whole braisa basically brings out the same point we're learning before. Karbanos that you're eating are not yours. And therefore the Torah says, if it's not yours, I'm not letting you exchange one thing for the next, because it's mine. Right? But if it's mine, if it's yours, why can't you exchange one thing for the next? It's yours. You can do with it whatever you want. Now, this is a braisa in Sifra. Okay? So the Gemara says, Stam Sifra, there's a rule. Stam Mishnah, nameless Mishnah is Rab Meir. Nameless Medrash of Sifra is Rab Yehuda. Now, who says this whole thing? Then, Rab Yehuda. That means Rab Yehuda, before he said Mekudesh, it says a good Kedushim because it's yours, but in this Braisa, it says clearly he can't. Meaning like this. Abaye just proved that Rabbi Yechon was right, that they took a vote and they came to the conclusion it's not yours. That means if they took the vote, Rabbi Yehuda also changed his mind. Because once the majority rules, see, Rav says they never took a vote, so Rabbi Yehuda holds his opinion and Rabbi Meir holds his opinion. Rabbi Yechanan said, no, they took a vote, the majority ruled, like Rabbi Meir, or like Rabbi Yisi Aglili, that he cannot do Kedushin, because it's not yours. That means Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. If majority rules, then Rabbi Yehuda also gave in. So therefore, this whole braisa was said by Rabbi Yehuda, basically you cannot do business with Karbonis for one simple reason, it's not yours. What?
I have a question about this thing, this whole thing about switching korban. Is this what the Rambam says, that is general halacha, general accepted halacha?
So what?
That you can't exchange any. Is what the general consensus? I mean,
that's the halacha. Bottom line, halacha is that you can't change.
So then, how can we even have an argument about the first thing?
No, that opinion said you could change.
Could change it?
But the halacha is that you can't.
The halacha is you can't. In other words, that opinion that seemingly says it's yours, not Hashem's, mm-hmm. seemingly you would be allowed to exchange it. I know, but that's one opinion. Oh. And the Gemara says, who said that? Rabbi Yehuda. Oh. Right? That means Rabbi Yehuda, according to this long braisa, this long Megillah, says it's not yours. But a few minutes ago, Rabbi Yehuda said it is yours. So we must say Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. Why did Rabbi Yehuda change his mind? Because they took a vote and the majority ruled, right? So that they changed his mind.
did not change his mind. He just followed the majority rule.
That means he changed his mind.
Changed it for him.
Can a Kohen give his chelek to some from other Kohen to eat? Not to exchange, it's to somebody else to eat it.
Kochi kochim, the holy, like, Ola, Chatas, are only eaten by male Koyanim. Kochi kalim, no, it's only wives of Koyanim, kids of Koyanim, and non-Jewish slaves, because they own them, they can eat. A Jewish slave owned by a Koyan cannot eat these korbanos, because he doesn't own the person. If he doesn't own him, he's not a Koyan. Then it's going back to the old question then, basically. So how could a guy give kedushin with the woman of his part, of the animal, right? If she can't eat it anyway. But the answer is, if she can sell it, then she could sell it to a kohen to eat.
Well, that was my question.
Yeah, but if she could sell it to a kohen to eat.
But if it's not his, then he cannot give it. According to
that's what the halacha is. It's God's. God says you can eat it, but it's mine.
No, but can he give it to another male Kohen to eat?
Yes.
Besides
that
the fact
also could be part of maybe he's getting an alarm from
it. Yeah, but it's only Hashem allows all the male Kohenim to eat it. But only to eat, nothing else.
But she can't even take it if she's not allowed to eat it.
Like she could take it and give it to another Kohen as a gift or sell it to him.
But it's not something that is acquirable by her.
She could acquire it.
But she's not allowed to.
She can't eat it, but she could acquire it. Unless if you hold it's God's, then she can't even acquire it. That's what we said before. That's the halacha. Because it's Hashem's, she can't acquire it. Because it's not given to you to eat, to own.
If he could give it to another Kohen to eat.
A male Kohen, yeah.
Something else in his place.
No, but that's what they learn out from Sukkim, that you can't do that.
Not verbally, but, you know.
He can't. He can't say, you take this and I take this. Now, after he gets his part,
right.
After he gets it, can he give it to another male Kohen? I believe he could. But then he's not doing business. He's not exchanging, you take this and give me this. Because God said, it's not yours to do that.
Take his chelek and later on give it to somebody else. I don't know.
Probably, I think so.
Because there's only so much you can eat.
The Gemara says there was a doctor in the Beis Hamikdash because Kohanim were always sick. Not mentally, I mean physically.
Why?
They walked barefoot on cold stone floor. Cold. Beis Hamikdash stone floor. It was cold. Okay? Plus, they ate a lot of meat.
Cholesterol and blood pressure.
Yeah. A lot of cholesterol.
Cholesterol.
Did the doctor have to be a Kohen?
No. They had an in-house doctor.
They have cholesterol pills and those things?
I don't know.
Does every Kohen have to eat all the people's sacrifices?
Well, the Kohen works weekly shifts. That's X amount of Kohen worked a week. Twice a year. So that week, they got all the korbanos.
There's not just one coin, there's like many coins.
Oh yeah, there's a show, a lot of coins, I'm sure.
Every week they had a coin.
And it's only part of the animal.
54 families.
24 families.
24 families.
Shmuel and Davi and David HaMelech divided the Kohanim into 24 families. Kohanim and Leviim.
Those are the breasts, they get the breasts.
So they sort of twice a year,
man. And Yom Tov.
And Yom Tov. So each family
was
there like twice a year.
Right. Twice a year plus three Yom Tovim.
What do they eat during? What they eat during the rest of the year when they're not working?
They got truma. They got. Kohanim were very wealthy. The Leviim were broke. Kohanim were wealthy. It says. No, the Kohanim were very wealthy.
What did they eat? What were they allowed to eat?
They got 24 gifts. You had a firstborn animal, went to the Kohen. You had the first shearings of wool, went to the Kohen. You had challah, went to the Kohen. You had bikurim, went to the Kohen. You had a carbon, went to the Kohen. You kidding? 24 gifts, truma. Kohen had it made.
Yeah, but
Especially if you are a popular kohen. You ended up with a lot of money. No, it said the kohenim were wealthy because they ended up having a lot. Okay, let's start the next piece of Gemara. So Abaye brings a proof to Rabbi Yochanan that they made a vote and it's not your money, right? It's God's money. So Rav says, I'll bring a proof to Rav that it is your money. Okay? There's a din like this. They had the lechem upon him. Okay, we'll just start this and we'll see how it goes. Lechem upon him is the showbread that they baked weekly in the Beis Hamikdash. They baked 12 breads every Friday, Shabbos. They took off the old breads, put on the new breads. Miracle was the bread stayed fresh a whole week. So from the 12 breads, 6, they took off 12 breads from the Shulchan, right? Because they put on the new bread for next week. The 12 breads they took off the table, they divided between the outgoing Kayanim and the incoming Kayanim. Okay, so every week, the Kayanim leaving the shift had 6 loaves to divide. The Kayanim coming in had 6 loaves to divide. Now, you had a lot of Kayanim and not that much bread. Okay? So it was like a kiddush in a shul. Everybody would grab. Everybody would grab the lechem upon him. So it says, the tznuim, the more refined kayanim, didn't grab. They said, you know what? It's disgusting to grab. They want it, let them have it. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. Okay? So let's start just the brayse. Amar Rav Krav Miletanya, but Tanya, we learned in the brayse like this. Hatznuyin, and this is basically during the second half of the Beis Hamikdash. The last part of the second Beis Hamikdash was when all these issues happened. Hatznuyin, the more civilized Kohanim, Meishkenes Yedeim, pulled back their hands, Vargagaronim, and the gluttons, Cholkum were divided. Okay? So what do you see from here? Lucheda, the lechem upon him, had to be eaten by every kohen. Yet some kohenim gave up their share.
Without eating.
Without eating. That means it was theirs to give up. Because if it's not, how can you take my share? Right? Let's say I didn't grab. And you grab double. Right? Because you took my share. How can you eat my share? So from here you see that it's the Kohen's, not God's. And therefore I have a right to give up my ownership and let you have it.
But if he just didn't take it.
Huh?
He didn't take it.
You mentioned there's not enough for everyone, so it probably he didn't.
One second. So Gemara says, my cholkim, what does it mean, divide? Which seemingly means divide. They divided it between themselves. And the civilized Kohen didn't get anything. Gemara says, no, it means chaitim, they grabbed. They didn't divide, they grabbed. Like it says in the Sefer, Maise Be'echod, there was a story about one guy, Shechotem Chalke V'chelik Chaveire, he grabbed his part and his friend's part, and they called him grabber for the rest of his life. They called him Chamsen, extorter. They called him extorter until he died. Okay? So Amar Rav, Rav says, Micro, where do we see that the word Cholke means grabbing? Because there's a pasuk in Tillim that says, Elokai falteinu miyad rasha, God deliver me from the hand of the wicked, mikaf ma'avol v'chaymitz, from the hand of a schemer and an extorter. Rav Amar mehocha limdo heitiv, dish, learn benevolence, Dish or mishpat seek justice. Ashur chometz relieve the victimized. Meaning like this, the Gemara says it's not really a proof to Rav. Rav wanted to bring a proof the fact that they divided it only amongst the grabbers rather than the refined kohenim. So you see that a person had a right to give up his own. No, they grabbed it and they did it themselves, and it was taka wrong. And this guy who grabbed two parts, they called him extortion, extorted for the rest of his life.
Okay.